The vibes of day one? Well, the vibes were immaculate yesterday. I had a great time seeing all the boys. Today, I mean, for me, football doesn't really start until we put pads on. But, like, this kind of getting in shape, just getting through the first couple days, that's really important. You know, like I said, get in shape, stay free from injury as best you possibly can, and then just be ready for the pads. So this is all fun. We're competing. It's not, like, fully competing yet because we're not hitting each other. It's just great to be back in the building, just excited that football is on the schedule again because I miss it all the time, and so I get to hit somebody again.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Stop the presses, Dibs. Breaking news. George Kittle says the vibes are immaculate.
Have you heard that before?
I think we've heard that before.
The whole idea of vibes for me is it's nauseating.
Oh, really?
Until we hear somebody come out and go, you know what? The vibes, they sucked. I'll tell you what. The vibes in this locker room, clubhouse, training room, whatever, the vibes right now, they're off. The vibes are really bad in here. Until I hear somebody say that, then stop with the vibes. It's the first day of school. And you remember the first day of school a lot more recently than I do.
Oh, yeah. But those vibes are not immaculate. First day of school vibes. I hated the first day of school.
But it's fun when you go back to the first day of school and it's like you see all of the people that you didn't see over the summer. Like you see your good friends, but you bump into people that you hadn't seen in whatever, 2 or 3 months. And it's like, yeah, first day of school. And the first day of high school in particular, it's like, all right, here are your books. And in college, here's the syllabus, and we're not going to do any real work, and here's what you have coming up. The vibes actually are, the first day of school, pretty immaculate, I would say, in school. It's pretty cool. And, you know, the first day of training camp, for him to say the vibes are immaculate, yeah, no Schmidt, Sherlock.
Well, I think it has less to do with how what as actually happening, because Kittle might have said something very similar last year when the vibes were not immaculate, which I know is what you're getting at.
Right.
But it's also just who Kittle is. Like Kittle, the field could be surrounded by a pit of lava. George Kittle would have to jump over in order to get onto the football field, and he would still say this is the greatest thing in the history of the world.
Right.
In fact, he might like that more than what it currently is. If it's football related, Kittle is like a kid in a candy shop. Like it's his favorite thing in the world. So getting the immaculate vibes quote from George Kittle specifically, take it with a grain of salt, because it is not difficult when it's football related for Kittle to be excited.
Agreed.
Which is what you want out of your football players.
Of course.
But it's also just who George Kittle is.
And I'm thinking about Carolina Panthers and when they reported, and you get one of the various Panthers who comes out and says, you know what? The vibes here are immaculate. You guys stink.
Well, it was funny. I forget. I apologize. I can't remember the name of the Tennessee Titans GM. So apologies.
Okay.
But someone in the media in Tennessee, Lucas and I, you and I were watching this portion of their press conference the other day. And the question was, do you guys think you guys can win the Super Bowl this year? And the GM, like, had to pause and think about how to answer that for like 5 seconds. He eventually was like, well, you know, like, it's like, okay, you're just like the Carolina Panthers. You're the Tennessee Titans. You have a rookie quarterback. Cam Ward won the Heisman, but a rookie quarterback. Like, are the vibes immaculate? Do you really think you can accomplish all that a NFL team should be accomplishing year in and year out? They're going to say yeah, but you can kind of tell how they actually feel based on how they answer the question.
And how long it takes to actually
stumble through it.
Right. And yeah. Honestly, if you're in that spot, the answer is yeah, we can win the Super Bowl. And you can go out and you can outline what you feel good about and you know what your path would be. And I do side more with Steiny than Evan. And Evan was kind of ticking me off today, I'll be honest. Just his whole like, and I told him this to his face, so I can go ahead and rat-a-tat-tat him now behind his back, although he's at the gym, probably not listening, although maybe on the Odyssey app. But the whole idea of, you know, the window's closed and the Niners, they're not going to win the Super Bowl. And I'm more of the mind of Steiny, where if you're one of the 14 to make it in the playoffs, well, then you've got action. And Evan actually came back at him and said, well, what about the NBA and the play-in? And Steiny's like, well, that's a good point. And it's a little bit different, I think, in the NBA.
Yes, it is.
Although now, with all the parity we have, you actually have more of a chance than ever before. And even the Warriors, you know, many people think that if Steph didn't get hurt, they had a real chance to beat Minnesota, and I don't disagree with that. And then OKC, they had to go to seven games to actually get by Minnesota, get by Indiana, rather than the NBA Finals. So I do think that being in the tournament gives you a much more of a live chance now than ever before, but if you're Tennessee, yeah, you got no chance.
Yeah. In general, NFL playoffs, a little different than NBA playoffs as well. You can just have a team that kind of catches fire at the right time and win from not a top three spot, although usually you do see a top three seed go to the Super Bowl. But it's less often like that in the NFL than it is, say, in the NBA, when almost always the champion is going to be a top three and usually like even a top two seed. And that was the case today, or this year, of course, when OKC won it all as the top overall seed in the entire bracket. But camp day one notes, Dibs. The first thing that came to mind for you was the injury report. Ricky Pearsall, how is he doing? Kyle Shanahan was asked about Ricky Pearsall and his injury process. Here is Shanahan after practice today.
Ricky is someone that, I mean, if this was probably a few years ago, we would have practiced him today. I mean, when you hit your GPS speed, your max speed that you hit before you were hurt, when you can run all those routes, that's usually your protocol to go back. And he hit all that stuff over the weekend, which we felt good about, but we wanted to make sure his conditioning was right. So we're just doing that for 3 days, and if he can continue to hit all that stuff and his conditioning's good, I'd be surprised if he wasn't out there Sunday.
Okay, so still on the PUP list, the PUP list, physically unable to perform, but Shanahan said essentially he's doing great, no reason to expect a setback, and he should be out there on Sunday, when I believe Sunday is the day that they break out pads for the first time.
Yeah, and I love the fact that he's talking about his GPS, and you know, once you hit your GPS speed mark, that tells you that that's about where you want to be, and that is so new school, where it's not even like, how you feeling, Ricky? It is, let's see what the numbers tell us. And, you know, if Ricky is at his best and he can run, I don't know, 20 miles an hour at top speed, which is pretty fast, maybe it's faster than that, but once you get to that mark, then the team automatically knows, yeah, you're ready to go because you're back at your top GPS.
Okay, so that's Ricky Pearsall. Seems like good news there from the Niners. At least it's not bad news. The other big storyline, Dibs, that you wanted an answer to, Juwan Jennings, who reportedly wants a new contract or wants to be traded. He showed up to camp yesterday. He reported, so he's not holding out. But would he hold in like Ayuk did last year? We can tell you, Dibs, that is not the case. He played. He practiced today. Juwan Jennings did. Here's Kyle Shanahan talking about Juwan Jennings and how nice it was to have him out there with the team today.
For anyone at the Niners, but definitely coaching-wise, you want everyone out there on the field, especially some of your better players. And Juwan's been a hell of a player for us here for a while, one of our leaders too, and he had a good practice, and it was great to have him out there.
You gave him a hug at the beginning of practice. Can you share what you told him?
What's up? How you doing? Dude, that would probably 25 other guys too. But yeah, this is what I do.
But Juwan practiced, and he played 11-on-11. In fact, he led the way with, I think, three catches, drew a penalty on a fourth target. He looked like the team's wide receiver one, and he's in the middle of, reportedly, a contract negotiation, but he practiced like anyone else did.
And I wonder if that doesn't actually help his leverage as opposed to hurt it, because many people would look at it and say, well, that hurts your leverage because now you're here, and they don't have to actually do right by you. But considering where this team is with their wide receivers, and Pearsall is not yet out there, and Cowing got hurt, and Ayuk is hurt. So maybe this actually helps the leverage where you show John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, look, we're going through a thing, a negotiation, yet I'm still out here. I'm that guy. I'm your guy, and it's the person they need him to be. So I wonder if it doesn't actually help his case.
Yeah, I'm interested in that too. And you mentioned Jacob Cowan. You said he's hurt. That was the big negative for the Niners today. Jacob Cowan, second-year wide receiver, he pulled his hamstring while running routes on air. So not against any DB or linebacker or anybody, just running routes himself with no one guarding him. He pulled his hammy. So that is the bad news. But what you were talking about, Dibs, how the Niners maybe change their tune based on Juwan Jennings being there at practice and actually practicing as opposed to holding in or holding out. Is there any part of the Niners that are maybe more willing to give a player what he wants if they show up to practice like Juwan has been? Here's Shanahan on that with Juwan.
We know Juwan, and Juwan knows us. It just, I think the other way makes it harder. But it's, I don't really compare things to other years and other people. People have plans. It's a business plan. It's usually a plan between a player and agent. And I see it happen all over the league. It's happened with us. And it's something that I try not to get too worked up about because there's not always much I can do about it. So I always try to recommend them to do what I think will help them the most. And I think Juwan's doing that.
Do what you think will help them the most, and Juwan is doing that. And he, I know he said he doesn't like to compare previous years or other players and how they handled things. It's impossible not to, though, and I'm sure Shanahan and Lynch have a little bit more of a smile on their face as it relates to Juwan as opposed to how it went with Ayuk last year.
And for Juwan, I mean, he is looking for a contract that is going to be more lucrative. He's already under contract. He's not looking for $30 million a year like Brandon Ayuk was. He was looking to be next to the top of the market. So it's a little bit of a different circumstance. But I also look at this one, and this is who Juwan is. Juwan is a tough customer. He's a loyal Niner. He's a workhorse. And so if you're going to be all those things, you have to be out there and showcase that.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, those are the big takeaways from day one of camp. We got a little more to tell you about. Plus, we will hear a lot more from Kyle Shanahan talking big picture stuff. Talking team building, you mentioned windows earlier, Dibs. He was talking about Super Bowl windows, and did the window close? Is there a new one opening? All that and a whole lot more from Kyle Shanahan. We will get into that when we come back. It's Willard and Dibs. Dibs and Grandy with you, back with more on day one from Niners training camp coming up next right here on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
So what was on the menu? Seven steaks? Two whole chickens?
I went and got a giant Wagyu steak for him.
So I'm ecstatic about that.
On 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back, Niners camp day one. Practice one is over. And speaking of Nick Bosa, and welcome back, it's Willard and Dibs. Dibs and Grandy with you today. Mark Willard back next Monday. Speaking of Nick Bosa, who you just heard there, he apparently is also ecstatic about maybe being more of a team leader this year, Dibs. I think he said earlier today that he's going to be taking on a little bit more of a leadership role on this team.
Well, he needs to. When you've got that many pups on the defensive side of the ball, and we talked about it yesterday, the first five draft picks were all on the defense. So he's going to have at least one, if not two guys next to him who are rookies. And depending on who the linebacker is behind him, it'll be either a rookie or a third-year guy. And in the secondary, what, D'Amato Lenore is going to be the OG. And you've got Renardo Green in his second year. And you've got a rookie who's going to play the nickel spot on defense as well.
Austin Stout, potentially.
Thank you, yeah. And so you get into the huddle. And, you know, Fred Warner, the green dot guy, he's going to be your vocal leader. But you're going to look around the huddle, and there aren't going to be that many people older than Nick Bosa.
Yeah,
on defense.
No, I mean, rookie in 2019 when they went to the Super Bowl for the first time, he's been around for, much longer than D'Amato Lenore's been around, like quite a bit longer. So, yeah, and it's one thing in terms of production. It's another thing in terms of veteran status. And then when you got, you know, guys that slowly matriculate their way out of here, like he used to be playing with DeForest Buckner and Armstead. Both those guys are no longer Niners, of course, and that was the case also last year. But you had other veterans on that defensive line. I tend to think about the defense in three groups, Dibs. It's the D-line, it's the linebacking core, and then it's the DBs. And you have a leader at all three of those spots, but Bosa is going to have to be one of them and probably a bit more of a vocal leader. So we'll see how that all plays out. And the reason is, Dibs, because the Niners entered this offseason kind of at a fork in the road. They had to make a lot of really tough decisions, and maybe decisions isn't even the right word, because there weren't really decisions to make. They just had to deal with emotionally difficult things that were happening to them. Let me ask you this, Dibs. The way this offseason played out, you let a number of, you know, your own free agents go elsewhere, namely Dre Greenlaw and Talanoa Hufanga, and you trade away Debo, right? You don't really go and sign anybody on the free agent market other than like a reserve tight end and a couple of small pieces, special teamer here and there, yada, 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 but nothing special. No one who you expect to be a starter on offense or on defense was added to this roster via free agency. You acquire Bryce Huff, but he's more of a specialist pass rusher as opposed to a three-down defensive end and pass rusher. Did the way this offseason played out surprise you at all, Dibs, or was this kind of what you were expecting?
It's a little bit what I expected because, you know, I think Kyle Shanahan spoke to this either today or yesterday where, you know, you get into a spot, maybe it was on the TK podcast where I saw the comments, but you get into a spot where you don't really have the money to spend anymore. And I know that he talked about how they couldn't be in for Joey Bosa and they couldn't be in for Devontae Adams because they both were too expensive. And it's not that Jed York doesn't want to spend. He does and stuff, but you get to a spot with the cap and, you know, where you are looking forward where Brock Purdy, not this year, but next year, that contract all of a sudden is going to chomp, chomp, chomp. It's going to eat up a lot of your cap. And Nick Bosa is near the top of his position. Fred Warner the same. George Kittle the same. And so you can't just go out there and continue to try to get every expensive free agent in the market.
Yeah. So I asked you, does it surprise you the way the offseason played out? And you largely know, not so much. I asked because, as you laid out, this is also what Kyle Shanahan was talking about on the TK show. Tim Kawakami, his podcast, the TK show, you can find it on the free Odyssey app. Kyle Shanahan said they knew, everyone in the 49ers decision-making room, they knew that those cost-cutting moves were going to happen this offseason. In fact, they knew that they've been coming for quite a while. Here is Kyle Shanahan on the TK show.
We've known this is coming for a while. You know, the time that it hit me the most was like halfway through the year in 2023. And that's how everything does. But when you talk about a trade deadline there, everyone's talking about what trade do we need to make to make a run to win the Super Bowl and stuff, which you always want to look into. But there was a lot of issues coming up on the horizon that you could see possibly in 24 and 25, especially anytime you have a quarterback in a rookie deal that allows you to have all these guys. But you knew that was ending. So there had been some stress about that for a while. But when it hit for real and I had to deal with it, it was this offseason. And I knew it was coming. I'd been preparing for it for a while. But I'll tell you what, when March happened and that first day of free agency, and you still know it's going to happen, you're preparing for it, but you're still hoping it's not. And you're still hoping you can get lucky with things. And you're hoping that you can sign some guys or not lose guys. And everything, when I look at it from like a business standpoint and logically, everything happened that probably was expected to happen. But it was tough. When you look at that board, when I say the board, it's the roster that sits in front of me that I look at all the time. And when I just see empty holes there, and not just empty holes, but empty holes that used to be Greenlaw, that used to be Debo, like some guys who have been here for a while who we've really have counted on, and now they're not there, and we didn't replace them necessarily in free agency. That's a stressful thing, but it was something we didn't have a choice on. The money adds up. You knew it was coming.
Now there's Kyle Shanahan, and the thing that stands out to me, Dibs, was they were talking about how they could see their big bill coming due and all these difficult, emotionally difficult decisions that they had to make, as in trading Debo, letting Dre Greenlaw leave, letting Hufanga leave, right? All these guys, all those moves, they saw that coming as far back as in the middle of 2023 when they went to the Super Bowl that year. And they're already thinking, ooh, is it best for us to go out and try to trade for someone, or is this going to make our issues in a year, year and a half from now that much more difficult?
Exactly, which is why I talk about Super Bowl or bust last year. And yeah, it was Super Bowl or bust because you kind of had to bust it up. And
kind of what he admitted to. You're
right. That's right. And I hope Mark Willard is listening right now from his honeymoon on the Odyssey app.
He's not. Don't worry.
He might be, because if the ears are burning, then just hear me now and talk to me later, because this is what I was talking about with Super Bowl or bust. And also the idea of cap schmap, which is what my partner Mark Willard says a lot. Like, oh, the cap. It's cap schmap. And he's mostly right, because you can reconfigure deals and you can push money and you can, you know, juggle this and reconfigure that. But ultimately what Kyle is saying is you get to a point where you have your quarterback on a rookie deal, and when that comes due and your quarterback actually has to get paid, well, now you have to make decisions that are different than what you did when Brock Purdy was making $900,000. You know?
I mean, it's just an entire, it's a different calculus entirely.
Exactly.
It just changes everything that you're doing. So suddenly you have to reevaluate, all right, well, who's the most important, who's the most valuable, and the calculus the Niners made was Fred Warner and George Kittle and Brock Purdy more valuable than Deebo Samuel and Dre Greenlaw. That is the decision the Niners essentially made this offseason. And while it wasn't necessarily an easy pill to swallow, I don't think anybody could argue with those decisions that they made.
Right, other than the one that I think is potentially going to haunt them, which is Brandon Ayuk over Deebo Samuel. And I don't know if it was Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel, because ultimately, I don't think it's going to be both of them for that long. Brandon Ayuk has got a big contract that's going to be tough to move, but you essentially, when you paid Ayuk, you chose Brandon Ayuk over Deebo Samuel, and you did so thinking that he was a more complete receiver, and I use my two fingers there, Buddy Hield, not air quotes, but two fingers. He was a more complete receiver, and also you thought at the time he would be more durable based on the way Deebo Samuel plays football. He plays it very physically. He's a rugged player. And yeah, Debo's now a Commanders, and Brandon Ayuk is on the pup list. So it wasn't even Brandon or Deebo, because now you have neither. But you chose Brandon. You gave him the big contract, and you ultimately had to get rid of Deebo. I don't know if it was a cap casualty or if Deebo just needed a change of scenery.
Some of both, probably.
Yeah, probably both, but whatever it was, now you're stuck with neither going into a year where you'd like to have one of them ready for week one.
Yeah, but interesting that Shanahan not quite admitting to, you know, that it was 2024, we win the Super Bowl, or we're all done for, but it was certainly like, all right, it's time to kind of reset after 2024, and they saw that coming as early as the season prior when they were beating everybody easily on their way to a Super Bowl appearance. So once Tim Kawakami, again, the host of the TK Show, where this audio comes from, you can listen to the TK Show on the free Odyssey app. One TK heard Kyle say, all right, we saw these cost-cutting moves in our future as far back as 2023. Tim Kawakami followed up and wanted Kyle to explain that further. So here's more Shanahan on kind of kicking the can down the road on this reset that eventually happened this offseason.
You don't want to put it off completely, but you got every decision you make, you got to be thinking about that. That's why I never truly want to sell the farm to go win a Super Bowl. If you're guaranteed to do it, you'll sell whatever. But it's still, that guy person can get hurt. That's just still, you don't want to sell the farm, but we all know what our number one goal is, and I think we are aggressive towards that. But after the 23 year, especially coming up short and losing in overtime, and we look at our situation, I remember what I told the team after the team meeting the day after the Super Bowl. I said in front of everyone, I go, I know there's a lot of stuff. I know we're all heartbroken right now, and no one knows if they'll be back here because there's so many business decisions. But guys, I wanted to know one thing. We're not even allowed to pay Brock. That's league rules. We're not even allowed to, which means we're capable of finding a way to run at this again. And our goal is to try to do what we missed last year. And we're going to try to get that done if we can. And we have an opportunity of that because we're not even allowed to speak with Brock now. And so that kind of did look at as not a final window for certain guys, but a window for that, the money in that area. And that's what we did do. And we didn't have the luck with injuries. I don't think our team was as good as we were the year before, just in the preparation we had in the offseason. I think our schedule was a ton harder. We played a lot different quarterbacks than we did the year before. And we lost some of our best. I didn't expect to not have Christian the whole year. I didn't expect to not have Trent the whole year. I didn't expect to not have BA pretty much the whole year. Like, there's a number of things that went into it.
Now, there's Shanahan talking a little bit more about it, and he would go on to say later, Dibs, and he ran through all the things that went wrong, all the injuries, and yep, the team didn't play as well, and a lot of that is the preparation, and that's on me, and yada, yada, yada. But he would go on to say, but by the way, I would do it all again. I would do it all over again and put all my chips, or at least a reasonable amount of chips, back in the middle of the table, despite knowing that it ended poorly. There is something, I don't know, it makes, as a fan of the Niners, it makes me smile a bit knowing that Kyle Shanahan, thinking back on what was a disastrous season, knowing the process was we're trying to win a title, I respect him admitting, like, I'd do it all over again, even though I know it ended disastrously.
Yeah, and I love the way he said that, too. He's like, well, you know, you never want to sell the farm and stuff, and so we're not going to sell the farm, but if you could tell me that, you know, I'd be guaranteed and stuff to win the Super Bowl, then we'd sell the farm. So you're not going to sell the farm and stuff, but if it guarantees you the Super Bowl, then you're going to go ahead and sell the farm.
Well, if it guarantees the Super Bowl, right. Yeah. But in reality, of course, there's no guarantee. It's
of
like,
course.
It's like what the Rams did.
Right.
The Rams sold their farm to try to win one Super Bowl.
F them picks.
They did.
Yep.
Now, they've done a really good job pivoting since then.
They have, yeah.
But if you were the Rams and you never won a Super Bowl and you had to deal with some lean years, was it worth it at that point? They'd probably say no.
Yeah, it depends on how lean those years are. And if you're the Rams, and I think if you're the 49ers, similarly, you don't ever think about lean years. Like last year, you went 6-11. That was a lean year, but...
Singular lean year.
Right, and you could look at the reasons why, and... You know, Kyle was right when he, you know, was explaining that and stuff about the schedule. And it was not only the schedule, but it was the fact that the schedule stack was brutal. You had so many games where you played teams who had more rest than you, and you had a back-to-back in Green Bay and Buffalo, one of those games you didn't have your quarterback. You lost your, I'll say, Hall of Fame running back. I don't know if he's... a guaranteed Hall of Famer. I like his chances. Christian McCaffrey.
Keep it up for a couple more years. Yeah.
Maybe a couple more. I don't even know if he needs to. I mean, a Super Bowl would definitely get him over the hump. And if you look at his career compared with Terrell Davis, he's had a better career already than TD. And TD, he waltzed into the Hall of Fame. I think McCaffrey will be a Hall of Famer, but you didn't have him. You lost Ayuk, and you didn't have Trent Williams a lot. And Mooney Ward, and we can go all the way through the list of guys you didn't have. Last year was, I think, a confluence of bad luck, bad schedule, and a little bit of just a regression. You know, you come off the Super Bowl. I don't know if you want to call it a Super Bowl hangover, whatever you want to call it.
It was, I think. Yeah,
yeah, and you know, you had certain things that were your own doing. Your defensive coordinator was not a defensive coordinator. Your special teams were a joke. And your schedule was brutal, and then you had injuries. All those things combined to where you had a bad year. Now, if you have another bad year, now you can't look at last year and say, well, I mean, it was because of A, B, C, D, and E. If you go 6-11 again, now you got to start looking at different, like, real issues with this team.
Yeah. We're going to hear Kyle Shanahan talk. He mentioned the window, the Super Bowl window, in that last cut that we played. He talks a little bit more about it in depth, and we'll play that for you in just a little bit. But let's go out to the phone lines, 888-957-9570, and hear from the people. Up next is Dave in Fresno who wants to weigh in. Dave, what's up? You're on with Dibs and Grandy. What's up, Dave?
Hey, fellas. Oh, my God. Where's the violin for all these excuses? Are we the 49ers or are we the Arizona Cardinals? You know, there's a certain expectation with this team and with the big boy teams like the Ravens, the Chiefs, you know, the Bills. I don't hear this excuse. Oh, we had to pay people. Oh, we lost people or people got hurt. I'm tired of hearing the excuses. Like, we're the 49ers. And part of the reason what happened last year, and you had to let people go and money wasn't good, you haven't really been hitting on the draft. I mean, I know we ain't talking about that, but prior to last year, the last few drafts, you didn't draft many contributors. A lot of them never saw the field, and a lot of them never saw another contract. And, you know, you kind of put yourself in a tough spot. But, again, I'm not here for the excuses. You know, all those other teams, the ones I mentioned, they don't win every year. But I don't see them going 6-10. You know, they figure it out. You know, they're in the upper class of the league, and that's where I would think the 49ers aim to be or we think they are. So I am not in the business of making excuses. I don't care. Outside of losing your quarterback, there's really no excuse for injury. And yes, you had to pay for vets a lot because you weren't really drafting contributors in that way. So, yeah, this year is a big year. And I'm not, like, again, outside of maybe losing Brock, I don't see any excuses. I'm sorry. We're the 49ers, man. It's expectations. I want to bring that energy back. I mean, back in the day, under Eddie D, that was the expectation. Even winning 12 games was not acceptable. Now, it's like, oh, man, somebody got hurt. We had to pay. This guy had to go. Like, no, I ain't trying to hear that, man.
I hear you, Dave. Hey, Dave.
No excuses, Dave.
Real quick, Dave. You want the Niners to be more like the Ravens and the Bills. Is that what you said?
No, I'm just saying I don't hear that chatter from that side of the country. You know, every team goes through their ups and downs. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're not an excuse-making business.
you got to figure it out, man. Yeah. That's what I'm about.
I hear you, Dave, and I appreciate the call. As far as it goes for the Ravens and the Bills, I will also say during the Shanahan era, the Niners have accomplished way more than the Ravens and the Bills have. They've been to multiple Super Bowls. The Ravens and the Bills haven't been to one in that same era.
Right.
Now, the Niners have also had more down years than those guys, but, I mean, you got to take the good with the bad sometimes.
Yeah, and I'm not here to make excuses. I do look at a year, and I look at reasons, and the difference between excuses and reasons, there's really no real difference. Like, all the things that I laid out as reasons why they struggled last year, they are basically excuses because you still had three games that you should have won. Arizona, the Rams, and Seattle, those are three games that you basically kicked away. And the schedule, which was hard, yeah, every team has a schedule that can potentially be hard. Last year's schedule turned out to be harder than what you thought. And I wrote this down, Grandy, going into the year, the teams that they were going to face the previous year had a winning percentage of 505. So slightly above 500. It turned out the teams that they played had a winning percentage of 578. So
that's incredibly tough.
Yeah, the teams that they were slated to face the previous year, 500 in general, which is a tougher schedule than what they have this year.
Way
but
tougher.
It turned out to be a lot tougher when you look at, you know, teams like Detroit, 15-2, Kansas City, 15-2. The Rams were a 10-win team. Green Bay, 111. Buffalo, 113. Minnesota, 114. And the reason why it's more of an excuse than a reason is because you went 2-8 last year against teams with a winning record. 2-8. So if you want to be a good team, you got to at least go 500 against the other good teams, and then you whip up on the bad teams.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can sit out here and list all the reasons why the Niners won only six games last year, and it can be completely factual and not opinion-based, and I guess you can interpret that as an excuse if you want. It's just the reality of what happened to them. Part of it was they didn't play as good as they did last year, and Shanahan admitted to that. Like, that is part of it, but you can't tell me the Niners had just a normal injury year. They had a really bad injury year. McCaffrey, who was an MVP finalist the year prior, played, what, 3.5 games, if that? He played in four games, but was not a full contributor in all four of those games. Trent Williams, maybe their second most valuable player, period, across the entire team. He missed seven games this past year. Dre Greenlaw, he missed the entire year other than two quarters, more like 1.5 quarters of the entire season. Like, you had an abnormal injury year. Yes, Purdy was relatively healthy throughout the entire year. He missed that game in Green Bay, but he was pretty darn healthy, and quarterback, of course, is the most important one. But I don't care if you call it an excuse or not, Dibs. It doesn't mean that I'm okay with how the season went. Of course not. But injuries were a very, very, very big reason why the Niners struggled last year.
It was a big reason, and that's football. And so if you really are a team that is cut to be a Super Bowl-type championship team, then you need to have your twos be maybe not as good as your ones, but good enough to hold down the fort. And that was one thing I said last year going into the regular season that I was really concerned about was the depth. And your depth got tested, and your depth wasn't good enough. And so that's another thing as we look at it this year going in, and I know you're going to play more Shanahan sound coming up,
yeah,
but him talking about the offensive line and how
we'll get into that.
I mean, he loves it. He's loving that O-line, and he loves the O-line more than I would say 99.9% of the fans do.
He's the biggest fan of the O-line. There's no doubt.
Well, and he's the expert, honestly. So I'm not going to say that I'm all of a sudden now going to love the offensive line, but I'd like to see it. And maybe you can, you know, move me to Missouri, the show me state. Shout out Guru. It's one of his go-tos. But yeah, I mean, you're gonna have to show me, offensive line, that you really are as good as your coach thinks you are.
Yeah, we're going to hear him talk about the offensive line. He explained the relative lack of investment that they've put into the O-line, and whether you agree or disagree, the least we can do is listen to him explain it. We will do that. Plus, he talked about having Robert Saleh back and what that means. We will get to that as well. But coming up next, when we return, I'm going to use Kyle Shanahan to help explain why the Niners are entering this 2025 season, Dibs, but it feels like it's 2019. That's the Niners' plan. They are turning the clocks back to 2019. I will explain why when we come back. It's Willard and Dibs. Dibs and Grandy with you. If you want to join the conversation, 888-957-9570. Omar in Oakland, I see you on hold. We'll get to you when we come back. We got plenty more to get into. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Back with more next on 95.7 The Game.